Welcome to another Stang Gang podcast. We're talking about Midwestern State cross country with Kelsey Bruce. And the good thing about a podcast is you can be flexible. So we missed last week because of scheduling conflicts, but we didn't want to miss this week because this is a huge week for Midwestern State cross country because you're hosting the conference tournament. And I know we've talked about this a little bit, and we talked about it when you hosted an event, but there's a lot of additional responsibilities you have, right, as the host?
Yes, we're going out to the course in about 45 minutes to an hour to try to remark it from last time and fix, make a few adjustments. But generally, I'm hoping it's going to be a little bit easier this time just because I've done it once. So hopefully that pre-run, like, helped.
Reps always help, right?
Yes. Yep.
So what kind of changes might you make here? You said you're thinking about making a couple of changes.
Well, I don't know that they're changes. We're just going to more so, like, add more to it. And so just with our flagging and the markings and just have a little bit more than what we had the first time.
Well, and this is a bigger meet, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to take anything away from the one you hosted.
No, this is definitely a bigger
meet.
But
this is the conference.
Yeah. Size-wise, it's pretty similar. I actually think we might have had more teams at the first one. But competitive-wise, this one's going to be a little bit bigger. And it's just value-wise, just a little bit more valuable of a meet.
So I'm assuming this works like other sports where if you do well here, you'll advance to the NCAA?
Actually, no.
No?
No. D2 does it a little bit different with their conference, regionals, national setup in track and cross country. But I think D2 does a good job with their qualification systems. Some conferences will have something in their like bylaws to where like you have to be top so many to go in. But per NCAA, everyone gets a shot at regionals because regionals is the qualification to nationals. But every meet after, I think, I can't remember what the day was, but it's like after the third or fourth week of the season, every meet can go to our at-large bids. So, yes, conference could make or break somebody from going to nationals because they have 3 auto bids from each region, and then they do all of the rest head-to-head. So, like, if we say, you know, beat DBU, we would get wins over everybody that DBU has beat.
Oh, I see.
At conference. So it could theoretically make a difference, but it's not like
It's not an automatic thing.
Right.
What the other thing that makes this special is you're competing against everybody in the conference and strictly the conference. Is that right?
Yes.
So I'm guessing DBU comes in as the favorite?
They do, heavily, I think. But you know,
maybe not heavily because Midwestern State's looking pretty good this year.
Yeah, I mean, most of the rankings have DBU as one, and there's several sites that do it. Some do it. I'm a math person, so I love stats, and I love all of
well,
that.
Well, I'm a numbers person. I'm not sure I'm a math person, but I do... I think I drive Stephanie nuts because I'm always throwing volleyball stats at her.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. They so USTFCCCA.
I'm glad you said that.
They have DBU top ranked team in our conference in the country, and then WT's been not far behind them. I think the difference being in the teams, WT's got 2 really, really strong low sticks where DBU might have a lot, but I feel like DBU is going to be a little bit more heavily favored than WT. But those 2 teams are both ranked in the country. No one else is. No one else is ranked in the region at this point for top 25. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, but there's also, I think we're looking at being 4th to 5th based off rankings. But I also talk with our girls all the time, and, like, you never know what you can capitalize on with, you know, some teams. Like, we're really blessed in that we've got 12 girls and really 2 packs. And so we have a little bit of depth on the backside that some teams don't have. And so if you're counting on 5 and you have 1 person that's off, like, you can capitalize on that and beat people that you weren't expected to beat people with because you don't have subs.
Right.
We have a setup to where you can race 10, but top five score, top seven displace. So you're technically 8 and 9 don't, or you're 9 and 10, 8, 9, and 10 don't do anything for you in scoring. But so if we had 10 girls in front of somebody's five, that wouldn't really make a difference. But if their five happens to be way back, you know, that starts to add up. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. And I'm, you know, I'm always, one of the things I've really enjoyed about doing this podcast is you taught me a lot over the course of this year. And I was looking back and it's hard to believe that it's been 2 months since we did our first podcast.
Wow, yeah.
And it seems like we've only just begun. And it was a while back that you ran at Dallas Baptist in that first meet. And you really kind of set the tone for the season then, didn't you?
That was the hope. That was the hope. And I think our kind of mantras have been just to, like, I don't know, mantras not the right word, because we actually do have one of those. But it's more like our kind of like focus has just been to race, and which is really different than some of the teams in our conference. Some teams in our conference don't race very much, but ours has been to race and to compete and to get experience.
So I guess I'm a little befuddled, because I would think everybody is out there to race.
Well, you are, but because of the at-large qualification systems, there's so many caveats to what counts as a win and a loss. If you have to race a certain amount of your top five that you race at a conference or regionals, I don't remember which. So, like, there's a game. And I didn't really feel like we're in a point to play the game. Right. We just want to get better and we want to compete, and I want the girls to do their thing and to just really grow as athletes and as runners and learn how to race this year. And that's kind of been ours, is a little different approach than some of the teams in our conference, but to approach things head on.
It seems like it's working for you, though.
We'll see. We'll see. I think this weekend, I'm really excited and I'm really proud of the girls, regardless of the outcome that we have. But like, sites were ranked anywhere from, we're really ranked 4th to 5th in everything, but 3rd, 4th, 5th are all really close, and really probably 6th is pretty close. And so I think you could have a good day and be anywhere there. So I don't want to be like, oh yeah, it's paid off, you know, and then we don't, you know, make big progress. But I do think as a team, we've made big progress this year.
Well, you've certainly made great progress in terms of building the program, right?
Yes.
And I would think I know we talked a couple weeks ago about you're impatient, but I would think you're, no pun intended, but on track.
Yeah, we're actually not on track. We're in cross country. But I do think so. And I think we're better, like, regardless of what our place is. I mean, there's stats to show that we're so much better than we were last year. Our conference, I think, just like where the positioning wise is just a little better too. Like, Oklahoma Christian's really strong this year. St. Edward's is strong. WT's typically strong. And DBU's always strong. So, like, and then you also have TAMIU, who put in 5 girls pretty much back-to-back last year, raced super well at conference. Plus, I think last year Lubbock Christian beat us. So just the depth is in a little different place this year, but it's just good. Like, it's a good conference.
Can you put your finger on why that is? What makes the Lone Star Conference such a good conference? Is it just a good area to recruit out of?
I don't know. I think Texas is a big state, and there's, you know, we're primarily Texas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico schools, so I think that's part of it. But I do think that more programs are investing in distance versus a lot of Texas schools were just, like, they had track coaches as their distance coaches and, you know, didn't really prioritize that in being, like, really good at the distance side, because with track, you have to kind of pick what you're going to be, like, really good at, or I guess you don't have to, but a lot of schools do. Like, we don't focus on throws because I'm not a throws coach. So we just don't focus on throws. But a lot of times distance is that one that people choose not to, to invest in. And I think more schools are seeing the value in investing in that side, and it pays off for cross and it pays off for track.
So I'm guessing, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be way off, but a lot of schools, you're kind of pointing to this. This is where you want to peak, is this weekend?
Well, it depends who you are. This regionals and nationals are the postseason.
Begin to peak.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. This is kind of starts the process. But this year's a little bit later because the festival year. Everything's 2 weeks
So what is a festival year? What is
So all the fall sports compete the same weekend. So soccer, the soccer national tournament will be in the same place as the cross country race. And they only do that once every 4 years. Volleyball will be there too. Everything but football in the fall. It's the same weekend. Usually they have their own different weekends that they compete at their national championship.
Well, that's going to make for a great weekend for sure.
Yeah. It just makes it really long for cross because, right. You know, we start so early and it's extending us 2 weeks longer and it's challenging. It adds a different element to everything.
So I'm really bad about not looking at weather forecasts, but I was in a meeting yesterday where people had looked at the weather forecast mm-hmm. and I guess there's the possibility of rain.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, this morning it looked a little better. So hoping it continues to improve, but Friday looks like thunderstorms all day and that's the day the teams come in and jog the course. So I don't know what that's going to look like if it's thunderstorming all day. And then Saturday was rain, but right now when I checked this morning, it was actually looked really good, like 50 degrees and like 10 mile per hour winds or something like that. So it's pretty similar to what we had.
So I know what rain does to a golf course and how it affects golf, but how does it affect,
right.
How does it affect cross country?
I think with that course, I think it just makes it softer, so slower. And then with the wind and coldness that come with it, just have that. But I do think the golf course is a pretty good course that it'll hold a fair extent right. of water.
I'm not trying to dehumanize anybody here, but I know in horse racing you've got mutters, horses that run well on wet tracks. I'm guessing that would hold true in cross country. There might be some runners that actually might prefer those conditions.
I think you do always have, and that's the cool thing about cross, is you have the element of toughness and resiliency in terms of like not having everything perfect. I think a lot of runners can be really successful on the track because things are perfect. Like you can set yourself up to have a fast race. With cross, you don't have that control. And so you definitely do have people that are better if it's, you know, they're going to step up and capitalize on people being like, I don't, for lack of a better word, weaker mentally than,
or just miserable. They're yeah. just not happy with the conditions.
Negative or whatever.
Yeah, right.
It might
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good. That's probably a better word. Negative about, oh man, it's wet out here. It's mm-hmm. muddy. Whatever.
And you forget that everyone is doing that, but you kind of get stuck in your like, oh, I'm gonna feel sorry for myself. And I think, and I love athletes that are like this that want to step up and be like, no, like I'm ready for this.
Well,
like, bring it.
I was going to say, I'm guessing on a Kelsey Bruce team, you don't get to feel sorry for yourself.
No. I actually said that to a girl a few weeks ago. I was like, don't feel sorry for yourself like right now, because it's so easy when you're tired, and I've done it, but like, and it's not like you don't want to be there, but you get stuck in how bad you feel versus like, hey, I'm here. I'm just going to be here. I'm going to do this. And we actually talked through those words.
Yeah,
a couple
I mean,
weeks ago.
You have to kind of recognize that that's the place you're in, right? And
you
then
do.
Try to reverse it.
Yeah, and it's really hard to reverse. So you don't really want to let yourself get there to begin with.
Well, man, that's a great point. Just don't get there to begin with. But that's easier said than done because you're dealing with human beings. So.
Yeah, I do think not going there is actually easier than getting yourself out. I think, and just not digging yourself a hole.
And
is
that's
easier than getting out of the hole.
Well, that's another great point. And but that's also a process that I'm sure you've been working on from, you know, back in the summer or even before that.
Oh yeah, and I think as a person, I've been working on it for my whole life, and so it's just something I've kind of like just realized more with coaching, the importance of keeping yourself at a focused high level, and I think that's probably good for any athlete.
So, and I'm not asking you to get into any specifics here, but one of the reasons we weren't able to record last week is I was told you're out recruiting.
Yes.
So I'm just curious what that process is like for you, and how do you go about recruiting? I know football coaches are watching film.
Yeah. I probably, and I don't know if it's just because I'm young or like an underdog person or whatever it is, but first and foremost, you look at times. You look at times and you look at who people are beating. Cross country, you can kind of compare based off what they've run on the track and based off who they're beating, do those things. But I also recruit a lot on personality and a lot on like team-centeredness and
people that don't get negative.
yeah. And people that are just about what we're doing, because I credit the girls and their personalities and their character to their success just as much as what the training has been. And so I think I have a degree of where most people can run, you know, I think, and you can develop as much as you're willing to develop to a degree, right? People are more talented, but I think if you've got someone that's gung-ho and it's going to, like, put their nose to the grindstone and work hard, you can see there is fruit of that in cross-country and track and our sport. And so I look for those ladies a lot. But, you know, you can't – sometimes you can see that when they're racing. And sometimes you get to know that over the phone. Just – I think recruiting has a little more element, but it's easier, I think, for us time-wise versus watching – having to go watch film and things right. like that. Like, if you're on the track, it's this track it's everywhere. It's the same track. And so you can say, oh, that person ran 11:30. That person ran 14 minutes. That one's the better. Like, you can look that up on a computer. That's really nice right. about our sport.
Well, I'm sorry that we didn't get a chance to visit last week, but no harm, no foul. And I'm really glad we got a chance to visit this week. And we'll do it one more time at least. And good luck this week. And I know you're busy this week, so appreciate you taking time out to do this as always. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is Kelsey Bruce, our cross-country coach here at Midwestern State. On another Staying Gang podcast, I'm Pete Stein, thanking you for being with us and inviting you to be with us again next week.